kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I'd like to share and exhort in the word today, and I have, as usual, a title that we will discuss and look at, and our title is, Are We Bearing the Marks of God's Sword? Are we bearing the marks of God's sword? I think from that title, we can very much learn that we are in a warfare. We are up against the powers of darkness. And it also reveals that God, sadly, has enemies. This, of course, is tragic, isn't it? When you think that God created man for his glory and to have fellowship with him. But sadly, a lot of this went wrong. And instead of being in fellowship and harmony, sadly, man has become an enemy of God. And God, an enemy of man. And we will never understand some of these things that is in the Father's heart. That is something that is hid from us with regard to how that must have affected. But God, being God, who never changes, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, cannot and will not be affected by these tragedies. Because what he decrees, what he pronounces, and what he says will come to pass. And we know this as we study the scriptures and we look at his word. And that's why I've opened up in such a way with regard to the title of what we're going to look at today. Are we bearing the marks of God's sword? That's the question we're going to look at today. You see, we have to accept that there are separations in the house of God. God's sword reveals this. And we get the clear analogy of this, of course, in Luke chapter 12. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 12. And we will look at verse 49 to 50. Verse 49 to 50 of Luke 12. And it says, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. So we see very clearly that God's word, which is always clearly shown as the sword of the Spirit, also divides. Now, it's interesting as we open up with this, because he says back in verse 49, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. What is he explaining? What is he actually saying here? Well, this fire, which obviously in Greek simply means to burn. It burns in the heart. And what he is saying here is that I have come, my presence, my word, my spirit will burn in the heart of man, particularly those who reject Jesus Christ. In other words, those who reject Jesus because I've come with that baptism, their conscience will prick them. Their conscience will burn. They will not actually find that peace that their soul and heart is looking for. And of course, we know this is where the enemy comes to trick. For he shows that our peace and blessing are in the things of this world, or what we can accumulate, or what sort of job or position or house or whatever it would be that I have. These are all lies of the enemy. We know this because man was made for God. He was created for God. He was created for relationship, harmony, unity, oneness. And of course, we know that Adam fell from the standard of God. And so the world was looking and waiting for a savior, one to come who could restore and bring man back to God in relationship. And here he clearly reveals that he sends this fire on the earth, and how I wish I already kindled, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it be accomplished. And so we see that Jesus came to the earth to do the will of his Father. And the will of his Father was to go to the cross, to Calvary. And in his ministry, he is being prepared as that sin offering to do the will of his Father. And so he is about to die, and he is to experience a baptism that has never been experienced before in the Godhead. Remember that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He always has been. But there had to come a time in humanity which he was manifested to the world. Else you cannot see spirit otherwise. And so because he came in the likeness of man, born in flesh after the likeness of man, in flesh he is about to die. And this is a baptism, an experience, so that through his death and resurrection, he could bring forth a new humanity. This is why we now walk by the Spirit and not after the flesh. This is why we become a new creation. We have been made new in the heart, in the spirit. In other words, restored back, but we are still in our flesh. We are still living in a sinful, fallen world. And this is why we walk by faith and not by sight. So this fire burns now in the heart of man, particularly those who reject Jesus. You see, we have to understand that it was his people he came to redeem, Israel. It was his people that rejected him. And it was his people who put him to the cross. And there it is. I have a baptism to be baptized with. And it speaks, of course, of his death. And all of this was in his flesh, and in his flesh he could feel pain, he could feel anguish, he could feel joy, he could feel sadness, and so on. But he had settled his Father's will, for I do only that which the Father reveals. And so, being one with the Father, one with the Godhead, he knew he had to accomplish what the Father willed at Calvary. And there it is. And he says in verse 51, "Do you suppose that I've come to give peace on earth? I tell you not at all, but rather division. So again, this really needs to be understood. I thought that the gospel was a good news. I thought that Jesus had come to save the world. Well, that is his purpose. And for those who receive him and receive his word, it is good news. But we have to face reality. And that is that there are many who reject him. And you know, one of the worst things that you experience is when people will say, well, yes, there probably is God. Yes, I believe that Jesus did come. He did come as a saviour. And it's obviously right for you, but it's not for me. It's not what I want. That is probably the hardest one to hear. And a lot of people have that attitude. They're not interested. They are only interested in what they want to do and what affects them and what takes their interest. And sadly, that is the division. But our Lord doesn't stop there. He shows that that division is also in our household as well. And this is why we have to understand that the gospel divides those that are saved and those that are lost. That is the reality. We cannot change that. God knows what he's doing. He is on the throne. He never makes a mistake. Now, this is particularly interesting and poignant to the Jewish Orthodox. Do you know that those who leave the faith, they perform a mock funeral? They actually go through a funeral to those who leave the Orthodox faith, and those particularly who follow Jesus. They consider them as actually dead. So there we are. We get now a clear understanding of this sword that divides, that cuts asunder. You see, we have to learn that Jesus' peace is not of this world. And there are many brothers and sisters who are trying to get peace in their life, and they think the world is going to give them that peace. This peace can only come as we yield over to the Spirit of God. In other words, don't fight him. Stop resisting him. There are too many professing Christians who fight too much with God. And we have to learn that he wins in the end. He's sovereign. He doesn't get it wrong. He doesn't get it wrong over you and I, as negative as it can look. Every day, every moment, every second of our walk is the will of God working in us, both to will and do for his good pleasure. And he never makes a mistake. And we need to settle that one in our lives. It's going to stop a lot of heartache, a lot of disappointment and depression that a Christian should never have. Depression often is a result when we want our own way and not the will of God. And that is why when the Holy Spirit begins to work, or he says something, or he requires something in your life, or do this, or he's cleaning us up, delivering us, instead of fighting him, just yield over. And you say to me, how do I yield over? I've tried these things. Well, we call it the absence of resistance. And yielding starts by being honest before God. Sometimes you can't yield because you've never told him that you don't want to yield. God knows you don't want to yield, so why don't you tell him you don't want to yield over to him? But at the same time, you know that he's right. That is being honest, instead of wearing that mask that we do. Tell him you find it difficult. Tell him you don't want to yield in your flesh. Tell him you can't love that person in the natural. He knows, and he's there ready to listen. He is your father, and he loves you. And you cannot hide from him. And he knows these things that we can still harbour and hold in the heart. Then tell him. And you watch how he'll move heaven and earth, if need be, to work in you his will. Because his will is always the best. It is never wrong. It goes wrong when we do it in our own strength, in our own pride and stubbornness. That's when it starts to go all wrong and you lose your peace and your joy, battling depression, and the enemy becomes so vocal with his lies. That's why God loves obedience. He says it's better than sacrifice, it's better than anything else. But you know, he asks obedience of us because he knows we can't do it. It's impossible for us. Why couldn't he ask of something else? But he asks for that obedience. And do you know why? Because it's God in you working it. For his glory. He knows you can't obey. He knows you can't follow him. He knows you can't meet any of this. It is by his mercy and grace. It's as we bow our knee in a hopeless state. It's as we bow our knee in absolute honesty. He then raises us up in his strength and power. And he gets the devil off your back because you can't get him off your back. Why am I talking in this way? Because I'm talking about the sword. I'm talking about what divides. And God is dividing those things in our life where we've still got wrong affections. Where there's still idolatry, where we're still looking to man and not God, where we're still trusting in the arm of the flesh and not God and his promises. That's why I'm talking like I am. Because the only way you will trust God, the only way you will walk by faith is to be honest in his presence and tell him. I will tell you something as your pastor. Years back, God brought me to a place where I had to be completely honest with him and tell him I didn't love him as I should. And I was harboring that for a long time, but he knew. He knew. And guess what? He didn't reject me. He didn't whip me. It was like he said, at last, you have been honest before me. And it was like he gave me an ultimatum. He said, what do you want? Do you want to love me with all your heart, soul, mind and being? Is that what you want? I said, yes, Lord, it is what I want, but I don't do it. Okay, faith, trust me. And you watch. And you know what? God did work that, and he is working that, because he is faithful, because I don't fight against division. I don't fight against this sword that comes down to divide. There are too many in the house of God who fight against this sword. And those who yield over to the sword of the Spirit will bear the marks of God's sword. the same as Jesus when he went to the cross, when they put those nails in his hands and his feet. We're told in heaven when we see him, we see him as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We shall also see those scars in his hand and his feet. He bore the marks, and he's going to have those in eternity. We only just have the mark of the sword just in this life before we're glorified. And that's why it's not always easy when we see those who fall away or don't any longer want to fellowship with us. We have to accept that this is the sword, it is God that divides. We're witnessing more and more now in these last days of this division that's taking place. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark 13. These are all the clear signs of the soon coming of the Lord, because we're seeing division. We're seeing a falling away from the faith now. We're seeing cults and religions rising up. And here it is in Mark 13, and we'll take it from verse 3 onwards of Mark 13. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled?" And Jesus, answering them, began to say, "Take heed that no one deceives you." Well, there we are. There's the first thing that he says before anything else. Be on your guard. You are a target. That's what he's saying. "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will deceive many." In other words, many will come using the name of Jesus. "But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen. But the end is not yet." Well, we've been having that now, particularly since last World War II. World War I, World War II, 1948. Now Israel has become now a nation after 2,000 years. "For nations will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows." Well, all of that is increasing, isn't it, brothers and sisters, in the world. Verse 8. "But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them." Well, we see now that Christianity is under a threat, and our freedom, our liberty in Christ, is gradually being taken away. But God is in control. "And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations," and it is going out to all the nations. How do we know? God is also using technology, computer, like he is today. We're all scattered around the world, but here we are, we're able to listen to the word of God. So it's happening. "But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given to you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speaks, but the Holy Spirit." And that is why he's the one who's come to take over in your life and my life. Christ has come back to us through the Holy Spirit to take over in what? Your weaknesses. And we have them. And that's why we shouldn't be ashamed. We shouldn't be ashamed of confessing them before God, for the very purpose that the Holy Spirit can take over. And he will, brothers and sisters. "Now brother will betray brother to death, And father, his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. That's already starting. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. So there we are. And this is why we stay with it. We endure. Whatever's happening, whatever they're saying, whatever they're doing, just stay with it. And you watch. God will be faithful. He will sustain. He will hold you in his presence. He is faithful. He won't let you go under. And you know that, brothers and sisters. How do you know that? Because you wouldn't be here this morning listening to this. That's how you know. It's God confirming. We're here because we have need of this spiritual manna to encourage us, to help us. That's why Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, they follow me." And so often these divisions are to get us to walk closer with God. There are those who don't really walk close with him. And you've fellowshipped with them, but you know something? They can become a hindrance to us. And God is going to remove any hindrances. And if it even means those who do not have a heart for the Lord, he'll remove them. So that you are not damaged. So that you are not deceived. It's because he loves you. We don't always see it that way. We can be heartbroken sometimes to see brothers and sisters we knew or fellowship go back or go off to other ministries or get deceived by a preacher or just go back into the world. It's difficult. But God always has a bigger picture behind everything, and very often it's to remove those hindrances that are hindering you. You see, the powers of darkness work to get you to compromise. And we have to learn from this. That's why Israel's history is in the Bible, because she continually compromised. And her compromising was turning to the world, idols, thinking that they were the answer. But they weren't, and they aren't. Nothing changes. Human nature is still the same. We do the same. That's why, you see, sometimes God has to train us to be our own, and on our own at times. You may find that you're on your own. You may find for a season you don't really have many brothers and sisters you can fellowship with. You don't seem to find many who are of like mind and heart and spirit like you are. God's got a reason. He may have you on your own for a while, for the very purpose that you learn to hear his voice. You learn to walk in his presence. He never makes a mistake. Because he wants to use you in these last days. And this is why we bear the marks of God's sword. It's interesting what the Lord said to Peter when they came to arrest him. And when Peter picked up a sword and he lobbed off the ear of the guard that came. And what did Jesus say to him? Those who fight with a sword will die with the sword. So he was showing from the world, the natural, what would happen to you if you start to pick up weapons. You'll die by them. Well, let's take that over to the spiritual. Here we are, we've taken Christ as our Saviour. We've taken the Word of God as our source, as our faith, to build us in the faith. And what does he say this is? He says it's a sword that comes to divide. You're going to bear the marks of this. The same as those who pick up a sword and fight with it. What will be the marks of that? Death. You see, because this is the nature of weapons. We're told that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This is why we're God's spiritual army as well. We are being trained for the last days, which we're in now, to stand, to endure against the powers of darkness that want to destroy us. But guess what? When we do it God's way, we yield over to God. God sets a standard against the enemy. And that is why you're not destroyed. That is why the enemy cannot destroy you. He may have a certain access that God gives him for a season, and that is all it's for. But he cannot destroy you. Those whom God has called, decreed from the foundation of the world, will stand and endure in these last days. You say to me, well, how do I know if I'm called and so on? You will know if you stand and endure to the end. There is the clear sign that you've been called. And even God helps you to do that. We cannot lose in this. And we mustn't listen to the enemy. We mustn't listen to man's report. We mustn't keep looking to the world, because that is negative and it's trying to bring you down. We have God's word. We have the Holy Spirit whom he has sent. We have fellowship with one another. We're able to come like this even today in a meeting to share and to come under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're hungry for God, you're hungry for his word, God will lead you. That is why I say this meeting today and every one of us in this room is not a mistake. This is God's perfect will for us. And God took the initiative to bring us into this room today. It's not in you. It's not in me. It's in the Father's heart. And he moves on our behalf. This is why, brothers and sisters, we bear the marks of the sword. And this sword does divide, and we must not stop it. We must not get in the way of this sword that divides. Yes, even in the family. And the family can be at times our worst enemy, trying to stop us from doing it God's way. And of course, we know they'll try many, many ways in which to do this, because they know us very well. So there we are. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, as we bring this to a conclusion, let's look at some scriptures now on what we've been talking about today. For example, let's turn to Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Proverbs 13 and verse 20, which says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. So we're told we should walk with wise people, those who love the Lord. What does Proverbs 22 say? Let's turn to Proverbs 22 and verse 24. Proverbs 22, verses 24, 25. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them. Mark no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and he set a snare for your soul. And it sort of goes on. There's a lot there to learn about separation. There's a lot there of the company that we should keep. There are those that we know we shouldn't really get too involved with. There are people in the world, they can be at work, they can even be in your family or whatever, but you're not to get too friendly with them, involved. And there is a reason for this, because what works in them can start to rub off on you. So we have to allow the Holy Spirit, that sword, to come and divide. And if we want that, then he will make you sensitive. He will put you on your guard. We don't reject them. We don't turn our back on them. But we don't get too in with them, too familiar. In other words, you have to allow the Holy Spirit that guard that he has placed around you. Some people sadly have very wrong demons in them. And that is why you need to be on your guard with what can work through them. And again, the Holy Spirit, he will open your eyes to all of this if you want this. What does it say in Psalm 26? Psalm 26, verses 4 to 8. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with the hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of your wondrous works. Lord, I have joyed the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. So you see, David here is concerned about his enemies. He's concerned about those whom he meets, and he doesn't want it hindering his worship, his praise to God. He doesn't want his hands dirty, defiled. See the heart of the man? And if that's in your heart as well, then God will work for you. He'll help you. He'll give you that wisdom. He will help you to be on your guard or not to get too involved with that person. There are some people in the world that we know we are weak to, and we will fall victim to. And this is where you have to be honest again before the Lord. There are certain characters and personalities that appeal to us, that we like. That's why the world out there is cliquey. There's that old saying, isn't there? Birds of a feather join together. You see it out there. That's their weakness in them that is attracted to other people of the same ilk. Well, we have to be on our guard to that. And that's what he's saying here. I don't want to be amongst these idolatrous mortals who love the world and their fancy houses and cars and jobs and holidays. And you know what it's like. I don't want to be amongst that because it's a hindrance to me. It makes me look too much at that instead of God and his word. Again, if we're honest before the Lord, we bring this all out before him, God's going to work. The same as the psalmist is pouring his heart out here to God. We cannot go wrong in this, brothers and sisters. If we do it God's way. But if you start to say, no, I have the Holy Spirit. He gives his angels charge over me. I live by Psalm 91. I can go in that situation. I can mix with those people. It won't touch me. Well, you're already deceived. If that's your attitude, because that's pride, religious pride rising up. And I've heard it and I've seen it amongst believers. And sadly, some of them have fallen. They're not with us anymore because they thought they could do it in their own strength. And you can't. Because they don't bear the marks of the sword in their life. God is very particular, as I close now, who we associate with. Let the sword do its work to give you life and not death. Because what I've been talking about this morning is that you may make it into the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you how you speak to us. It's because you love us. It's because you are drawing closer to us. Father, help us not to put up any barriers. Help us not to resist. We know that you have been speaking to us this morning, and it's because you love us and you are our Father. And Lord, you're ever welcoming us in, drawing us in closer and closer to you. Father, may each one of us be open and honest before you. Help us not to put up any barriers or to deceive ourselves. We know we cannot walk this walk. We know that we can't even save ourselves. We are at your complete mercy and grace. But Father, you first loved us. And you brought us to your Son, Jesus Christ, who has provided for us to stand now in your presence. And not only that, but you've given us your word. And we accept that your word is also a sword that divides. And Father, we count it a privilege that we bear the marks of the sword of your word in our flesh, spiritually speaking. It is a privilege. What is that in light of what you have done for us and given us eternal life? It's nothing. Lord, I thank you that you have mercy over us. And Lord, I pray that you will be with my brothers and sisters. Preserve and keep them, Father. Keep them from the evil one, from temptation. Keep them above all from themselves. Lord, may they walk in your presence 24/7. And preserve and keep them. Keep them whole in mind, body and spirit. For this we ask. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Let him in constancy follow.